Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 247 of Game Time with Manny. As always, I am here with Matt.
Yes, hello.
You know, I was trying to think of a good segue before all of the really depressing news, and the only thing I could think of was that I canceled Game Pass, which is also also depressing, I guess. But
is there a reason?
No, I mean, I just haven't played a game on Game Pass since January. So it was one of those things where it's like, should I just keep spending this? Or if there's a time when I'm like, oh, I would play that, just re-up Game Pass. And that's,
that makes sense.
I was also, it put it into stark comparison because I chose this as the year to start doing the like keeping score of my games where like each game I buy is minus 1 point. And each time I beat a game is plus 1 point. Losing the point for Game Pass that I was giving myself each month was like, oh, we're fucked because I apparently only 60 to 100 hour JRPGs are going to be what I play this year. So I'm just like losing points. Because it's like, I mean, it's not like I'm not trying to beat Final Fantasy VII and Persona 3. It's just they take a long fucking time. So
yeah, that makes sense.
So it's like I'm hemorrhaging points over here. gotta get them back somehow. So yeah, I canceled it the other day. I think April 1st is the last day that I will have access to it right now. But also, I don't know that there's anything I super want to play on Game Pass at this exact moment. With all the RPGs coming out, so yeah, so I mean, that's not like an indictment on Microsoft or anything. It's just not anything. I mean, also, I played and beat like 4 games on Game Pass in January, so it's like, you know.
So you got your money's worth.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I mean, it's one of those things where I had hoped that like maybe the layoffs that happened at the end of last year, you know, were just like the video game industry catching up to the layoffs and the tech industry as a whole, and it wouldn't be that bad this year. That's not true. I mean, we've already covered layoffs multiple times this year, and now with these new layoffs, they have eclipsed last year in its entirety, and we're 3 months in. So it's fucking rough, man. And like some of them, I'm like, okay, like I see why this is happening, but the ones like PlayStation, man, I just so to start off, PlayStation lays off 900 people across all of its studios, right? That means that like people at Naughty Dog, people at Insomniac, people at Sucker Punch. And those studios aren't like doing bad. You know what I mean? Like Insomniac just put out Spider-Man 2. It sold like as of a while ago, 7 million copies. The game has been profitable for a little bit now. And like, hey, you know what your reward is for making a super hit game? Get laid off, I guess. Like, I don't, what, man? And that the rumors of layoffs in Insomniac were also in that leak when Insomniac got hacked. One of the things was that Sony was like potentially thinking about layoffs at Insomniac, which even then, it like that seems crazy. And the thing that I thought was the most fucked up was Jim Ryan is like done as of I think it's the end of this month as the head of PlayStation. He was like going around on his like goodbye tour to all these studios, and there is a photo of him the week before these layoffs where he is at Sony London studio taking a photo with the employees week before they tell them that the studio is closed and they all lost their jobs. There's no way my man didn't know that then.
Yeah, that's sad.
Like, that just seems so fucked. And like, it's also one of those things where in theory he could be like, oh, well, I bet that one of the reasons they're doing this is because then these layoffs, people associate that with Jim Ryan. So when a new guy comes in, he's like got a mostly clean slate. I mean, that's not like actually how anything works, but that would be the perception in theory from people probably. But yeah. And like London Studio hasn't done anything like recently, but I think the most important thing they did was make SingStar, which was like a karaoke game for the PS3 when the PS3 wasn't doing that great. And it wasn't that popular here or in Japan, but in Europe, it sold like wildfire. Like, it was like a phenomenon.
Really?
Over there. So, like, SingStar, they paid for themselves dozens of times over and, like, selling music packs and stuff like that. It was huge in Europe. So it kind of sucks to see a studio that, like, really helped Sony out during the PS3 era get the boot.
I was going to ask, like, what have they done recently?
I don't know what they have done recently. Because, like, after they haven't been doing as much SingStar stuff, I don't really know. I mean, obviously, I would assume that they have been support studios for other things. They basically supported a bunch of shit that Sony never really ends up doing anything with. Like, they made a lot of, like, iToy games, like, for their stupid camera.
Oh, okay.
But they made, like, 90 SingStar games even in 2019. Or 2017, they released a SingStar game. They were doing VR games. Again, like, they basically just, like, made shit for all of Sony's things they abandoned. I don't know. A bunch of Move games as well. It's sad. They haven't had anything since 2019, so I would assume that, they were working on a PS5 co-op multiplayer game.
I feel like that has to hurt Sony a lot. It's just like they haven't, this entire generation, they haven't released much. Other than like Insomniac releasing things. Like,
no, and like that brings into question like the greater conversation that I think a lot of people are having around these layoffs and stuff is, both are AAA games on the scale that Sony is making games and like EA and other companies are making games sustainable at all, right? Because like, take Sony for example, and it's not even about the money necessarily, but the games cost more than they've ever cost to make, and the development time is longer than it's ever been. So right. Like, on a good development cycle, what is like Naughty Dog going to be able to make one game per console generation now?
And is that what, like, I don't want that. I'd rather they make shorter games and make them more frequently. I mean,
that also seems to be not what normal people want. Not to say that we're not normal, but like, we're people who also would be more empathetic of like people's well-being at a studio and the way they work and things like that, or their financial well-being. It's also another thing, like, video games cost $70, and I know that's a $10 increase from what it was before, but like, the costs continue to go up, and if people keep paying the same, it doesn't really work. That's why there's so much DLC. That's why there's expansion packs, and people complain about those too, but these companies have to subsidize these things in some way. And it just, yeah, I don't know. Like, it just doesn't seem like, from many different angles, it just seems like it's not working as, you know,
right,
at all. So.
Yeah. And it's just like I look at Naughty Dog during the PS3 era, they released what, the Uncharted trilogy. Mm-hmm. And then also The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And then they've gone from like doing four games in a generation to halfway through a generation, they haven't released one new game.
Yeah, and I mean, like, think about the PS4 era. They released, technically, the new game they released was, never mind, I was going to say they only did one, but it would have been Uncharted 4 and The Last of Us 2, right?
Right.
I mean, if you want to get technical, they did the port work for the first Last of Us remaster.
Yeah.
or whatever. Which, I mean, to be fair to them, they like, their excuse for that was like, oh, we're trying to like learn the hardware and whatever. And, you know, that's cool. That works. But yeah, now we're, what Sony is saying is like the halfway point of a generation or further, and they haven't released a game. I mean, again, if you want to get technical, the remaster of The Last of Us 2, technically, but still, like, yeah, and it sucks because they were also working on a multiplayer game that got canned, right? So that's just a lot of time and effort down the toilet at a certain point that they probably salvaged some of to make that weird roguelike mode that they put in the in the remaster. But yeah, it just, I don't know. And especially from the perspective of Insomniac, like, who has been crushing it. They are the PlayStation 5. Like, yes. I don't know what else is it. Like, they have put out Miles Morales, Ratchet and Clank, and Spider-Man 2. Like, they're keeping this shit afloat.
Yes, I mean, they have... Sucker Punch hasn't released a game.
No.
I don't know. I would rather games go back down... Because, like, you think about... Like, I keep talking about the Naughty Dog, but when they were making Uncharted and The Last of Us, those games were, what, 10-hour games?
Yeah.
And then Last of Us 2 comes out, and it was, what, like a 25-hour game? So it was, like, 2.5 times bigger than the first one. And was it really that much better?
Yeah, I mean, from a graphical standpoint, in theory, sure. But, like, yeah, I don't know, man. Is it worth all that extra time and effort?
For a 2.5 times longer game, but, like, as I said, at the end of the day, like, it was a little better, but I don't even think most people would say that. I think a lot of people would say they preferred the first one.
Yeah, I personally would say that, but... Yeah, it's one of those weird things too, and like I don't know, like I feel like if someone ever brings up the possibility that games should cost more or like cost a certain amount based on development, people get upset, but like it was like that on the Super Nintendo. Like people don't realize that, but like to buy Final Fantasy III, which is technically Final Fantasy VI, that shit was like $90. Because it was a long JRPG and they needed to physically have more stuff inside the cartridge. You know what I mean? Like when Donkey Kong Country came out, it was hella expensive. It was like $120 or some shit. When it first came out, it was like ridiculous. And now for some reason though, going from 60 to 70, like across the board is like some huge slight to people. And I agree with you. Why can't games be at a slightly smaller scale? Like, think about if an Astrobot game is going to come out later this year from Sony, like the rumors say. If that was like a 10-hour game, I'd be totally fine with that.
Well, and Sony has been doing that, and then they've been pricing it accordingly. Like, Miles Morales was not a $70 game.
Same thing with Lost Legacy for Uncharted. Right. Like they were shorter and smaller in scale, and that's okay.
And they charged less.
Yeah.
I want more games like that anyway. I'd rather have games like that than not have any games, especially.
Yeah. And you know, just to continue down the layoffs, Deck Nine laid off 20% of its staff. I couldn't find any concrete numbers of how much that actually is. 20% is a fucking lot. Daigoot Fabrique is a smaller indie studio, and they chose to close due to the market conditions and getting funding and things like that. They made a game that I actually played at the beginning of this year called Muta Zion. They basically make like narrative themed games, and Muta Zion is a game about where you're this kid and you go to visit your grandpa on this island that was nuclear waste was on there and the people are fun mutants, but it's about gardening and it was like a really sweet good game. And they had just at the beginning of this year put out a new game called Salt Sea Chronicles that by all accounts was like a super well written narrative thing. But they're just like, we can't do it. We can't get funding. We can't pay our people. We have to close. And that's one where, like, I get that, you know? And everybody involved is sad because they liked making the kinds of games they made. But it's just the way the market conditions are right now sucks. Supermassive, the developers of, why can't I think?
Detroit Become Human?
No.
Supermassive is
Until Dawn
and The Quarry,
but I think they also make Dead by Daylight.
I don't think so. Maybe, but I didn't think so.
Oh no, that's Behavior. Okay, well anyways, they make those games and they make whatever the fuck they're called, the Man of Medan, whatever that series is called, the smaller ones.
Right.
Like horror-y games. That sucks. 90 people, 30% of its staff. No good. And then the one that really fucking other than Sony that really just got me is EA laying off 5% of its workforce, which is 670 people. Okay. EA, I can't with this fucking company, dude. The week before this happened, it leaked that Respawn was making a single player Mandalorian bounty hunter game. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The week after that got leaked, they canceled it. They said, you guys aren't making that game anymore, which will now make this the second Star Wars bounty hunter game that EA has poured a bunch of development resources into and then canceled. Because it was Star Wars 1313, well, that was technically LucasArts, but they could have continued development of that if they so chose. Fucking bananas. I can't believe that. And also, they Titanfall 3 was in development, and EA canceled that because they didn't want to make in that either.
Wow, that sucks.
So, like, it just, that's crazy, especially because Respawn has a proven track record of doing good shit. They have put out fucking Jedi Survivor for you twice at gunpoint, putting it out earlier than it should have and releasing it kind of buggy in both cases or broken because they got to get it out there. And then they also are crushing it with Apex Legends, and you're going to cancel all these other cool games that they're trying to work on. Like, fucking please, man. Why? I can't handle that. I don't even know what Ridgeline Studio made, but they closed down EA Ridgeline. Let's be honest, they were probably like a Battlefield support studio or some shit at this point. No offense to anyone who worked there. I think it was their newest studio, one of their newest studios. Oh, yes, they were dedicated to become a Battlefield support studio. Great. It's excellent. They shut down Ridgeline. And their main takeaway from this was they are moving away from licensed IP to IP they own and sports titles where they make their most money. Now, Matt, if I had to ask you, what are the EA games that you can think of that are up and coming at the moment that you know are like still in development?
Maybe Dead Space?
Okay, you got no other ones?
Well, and then like Jedi Survivor, I bet they're making another one of those.
Okay, so when I thought of the three games that EA has in development, I personally thought of Dragon Age, Direwolf, which has been in development hell, and in theory is supposed to come out this year. You know what two of their other hugest games in development are? A fucking Iron Man game and a Black Panther game. And you're telling me, dog, that you're moving away from licensed IP because you don't see the success in it? I'm not super stoked about either of those two games anymore because you're probably going to cancel them or you don't think they're very good.
Yeah, that's...
What? That's crazy. Also, EA has fumbled the Star Wars license in such spectacular fashion that I can't even begin to grasp it.
Yeah.
And they destroyed it with Battlefield 2. And then, like, Jedi Survivor, they're still putting that out. But, like, EA is the sole reason why Disney was like, hey, what if we just let other people make Star Wars games, like Ubisoft and, you know. And they were right to do that. But, man, how can you... We're moving away from licensed IP when two of the biggest announcements you have out there are Marvel IP. Like, what the fuck, dude? And also, I think it's funny because EA before, like a decade ago, was like, hey, you know, we've been trying to do a lot of multiplayer games, but you know what people seem to like? These single player games.
Yeah.
We're hearing it. We're seeing it. We're getting a lot of money from it. And now they're back to being like, nah, single player is not for us. We're going back to multiplayer sports titles.
Well, on the IP, I mean, that could mean they're gonna go back to the well.
Yeah, they're gonna bring back Mirror's Edge this time. It's gonna work.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but I don't know. I mean, Dead Space seemed to do well for them. I would love for fans of Dead Space.
They're gonna make a Dante's Inferno 2.
Oh God. Yeah, that's what the world needs. That and the third Mirror's Edge game.
Uh-huh.
For sure. Those are going to be what pulls EA out of this. But, like, man, like, we're so excited about the Iron Man game and the Black Panther game, but also we're not excited. Bye.
Hey, Mass Effect.
What I got out of this is that Mass Effect game is getting canceled. I think 1,000%.
I think that's probably for the best.
Especially if Dragon Age comes out and doesn't sell super well, I bet they fucking dumpster that game. So, you know, that's fun. There were actually some other things. Sony had announced a partnership with some brand new studio within the past like year or two, and now that studio is closing. Deviation Games. It was established by some people who worked on Call of Duty a while ago, and they were making a groundbreaking AAA property in conjunction with Sony. That was announced in 2019, September. They are shutting down. So we may never even know what the thing they were working on was, which is a bummer. So they're shutting down. A couple other studios I saw were shutting down. And then I tried to put the more positive news in the second half of this, but then more sad news happened. But the one that got me, I was like, hell yeah, dog. Everybody's like, we're laying people off. We're canceling games. Capcom said, whoa, hold on. Not us. You guys get raises. Which is tight because Capcom's been killing it the past several years. They are actually raising starting salary for new employees by up to 25%. And anyone who already works there, they're going to increase their salaries by 5%. So that's cool. And Capcom has been, you know, they've been doing very good.
Well, they've been actually releasing games.
Yeah, I saw a rumor that they have at least 5 Resident Evil games in development, which made me laugh really hard. That's funny.
I believe that.
But, you know, they're also working on Street Fighter. That weird game Pragmata that we still don't know anything about is going to come out at some point. And that weird game they showed over the summer, Kunitsugami Path of the Goddess, which was at the Xbox Partner Showcase, looks pretty neat. It's like a weird tower defense game with like a very unique art style, RTS type thing going on.
Dragon's Dogma
is going to do very well. Boy, the previews of that are wildly positive, let me tell you. So yeah, I mean, like, Capcom's been doing very well, and they seem to, you know, have good ideas for things going forwards. Like, the only thing I can think of recently that they did that didn't like set the world on fire was that multiplayer dinosaur game Exoprimal. But yeah, I don't know if that's even not successful, right? It's like it's an ongoing thing where you pay for stuff. So who knows? Maybe that's still doing well for them. And then continuing the more positive things, Embracer still in very weird financial trouble, trying to get rid of as much baggage as they can. Saber Interactive, the company who in theory is still developing the Knights of the Old Republic remake, because they took it over from the last developer that was doing it, they were able to split from Embracer in a $500 million deal. And it was some private investor picked them up for that amount of money, and they're just going to continue to exist independently. Also, weirdly, it was listed in there that they might be able to take some more things from Embracer. I thought that was funny. Like, what is this, a fire sale? Like, what does that even mean? She's going to be like, I don't know, take some IP with you. We'll throw it in as a bundle. So that was weird, but Saber will continue to exist. It has also been reported that a similar thing is probably going to happen to Gearbox.
That'd be good.
So it seems like there are several companies probably looking to purchase Gearbox. I would bet that is 2K because they own Borderlands. So it would make sense for 2K to purchase Gearbox and not let them die a horrible death under Embracer. So there is that. And then this one, it made me so happy. Toys for Bob split from Activision. And there are no details about this, how much money it costs, how this could possibly happen. But a lot of people just got laid off there. They were hit with the downsizing layoffs or whatever Microsoft wanted to call it. But now they're their own thing. They're an indie studio. They're going to make their own games, and I think that's really cool for those guys. maybe they are able to hire back some of the people who got laid off to continue working on some cool stuff. Cause like, man, Toys for Bob is such a cool developer, and I like, they can make a cool 3D platformer, and that'd be tight. I'd love to see that. And then this last acquisition / splitting up one I thought was really interesting. Remedy was able to purchase the rights for Control back from 505 Games, the publisher of Control. And this one was really weird to read about because it doesn't, like, 505 isn't in like any like weird super financial dire straits, and there was no like animosity from Remedy to 505 for like, oh, we have to get Control of this IP back because they're like mismanaging it or whatever. It just seemed like a thing where they were like, hey, we got money from Alan Wake, can we buy this so that we can distribute it and do whatever we want in the future? And 505 was like, sure. Like, I don't know, it's just a weird one because like both of their statements were not like filled with animosity or anything. They were both like, yeah, I don't know, it's cool for everyone, all right, bye.
Well, and if that means it's positive, then, I mean, 505 could probably still publish the Control, but then, you know, like...
they could shop it to someone else if they needed to. Yeah, like, right. I think that's cool. I mean, good for them. 505 made a lot of money off of Control by publishing it, and Remedy can continue to do cool stuff.
Right.
It also came out that they were super pleased with the sales of Alan Wake, actually.
So, oh, good.
Despite the fact that everything seemed to suggest it sold like trash, they were excited about it. So if Remedy's happy with it, I'm happy with it, man. Let's go.
I wouldn't mind a third one, wherever, whatever that would mean.
Same. I would like that as well. So I'm glad Remedy's trucking. They're continuing. They also gave updates on like Control 2 and stuff. They are at a major like early milestone where they're getting a lot of work done in Control 2. So. That's neat. And then, did you watch this Xbox Partner Showcase, man?
I watched the like the clips or whatever, you know, like, you know, some trailers.
Sometimes I try to just like stream of consciousness notes on these things. I try to be positive. I thought this showcase was awful overall. The first four trailers were like all CG that tell you nothing about the game, which is why I didn't even really write them down. And then to close the first section, they showed a weird Chucky crossover with Roblox. Mm-hmm. And it just, it looked so bad. It looked so bad. And I was just like, I hate the showcase. And I wrote that down here. It's really it just seemed really bad. And then there were a couple things that I thought were like kind of interesting. The DLC for Persona 3 Reload Episode Igus, which was an additional thing that was added in the second version of Persona 3 FES. It's like a post-game story thing where it removes all the social elements, and I always hated it anyways, and also thought it wasn't a very good story. This was data mined when the game came out anyways. It's just a matter of when is this going to come out. The answer is it's going to come out in September. The thing I think is cool about this is because Persona 3 Reload is on Game Pass already, this is maybe the second time ever that DLC will also be on Game Pass for free. But this, if you are playing Persona 3 Reload on Game Pass, this DLC story stuff will be free on Game Pass as well. So.
Oh, wow. So they did announce that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. Because a lot of times the DLC is not, like, you have to buy that separately, which I always understand that.
Yeah, like, oh. I get it, but this one was, yeah, they're Microsoft's really trying to push the Persona stuff, so yeah, they are like, yeah, this DLC will be on Game Pass, which I think that's cool. Personally, I made a joke tweet when this was data mined that I would have paid extra money to have this part removed from the game if it was in there. Okay, so I will not have to play it now. Is my take. Some people like the answer. I don't want to get too my own ass about it. I just wasn't a fan. People liked Frostpunk, the weird like future cold city simulator. They're making a second one of those. Comes out July 25th. People probably excited about that. And the last thing that they closed with was the Capcom game I mentioned earlier, Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess. It is a very like weird, interesting, colorful art style. It looks like it has like several different game types. It's like an RTS slash tower defense, but also like maybe kind of character action. I think the game looks really pretty. I do not think it is for me personally, just the way it looked. But I hope that that game does well for Capcom, because I love to see companies try new stuff. That's cool.
Especially Capcom, who doesn't release a lot of new IPs.
Yeah, I like the last time they did was like during the PS2 era when they were putting out like Beautiful Joe and Okami and all that weird shit.
That's not true.
Huh?
They just released that dinosaur game.
Okay, yeah. that is true. God, I wonder. Now I gotta like check out if people like Exoprimal. I don't know. Probably not. I never hear anything about it, so I don't know. So yeah, like there were other games, and after this, I felt like a psycho because everyone on Twitter was like, "I thought that was a really good showcase, and I'm interested in so many of those games." And I was like, "Whoa, not me." And like, to be fair, maybe some of those games they showed in the beginning is just CG things are like really cool, but you got hit me with the gameplay, bro. Let me see what you're
doing. Yeah, I don't get excited about CG games either.
Yeah, unless it's like an established franchise and I'm excited about the prospect of whatever's happening in the plot. But like, if you're announcing a new game, especially like one of those like an indie game, if you're not going to show me gameplay, like, I don't know what your shit is, dude. I have no idea. So what I did think was cool is the person speaking in between each thing. I guess this is the second one of these they've ever done, the Xbox Partner Showcase. The first one, they had no voiceover like between each thing. This time they did, and it was the developer, Zalavir Nelson. His studio made El Paso Elsewhere last year. So he was like, "Can I do it? Can I voice it?" And they were like, "Sure." And so he did that, and he was very excited on Twitter. He was talking about how sick he thought it was, so... That's cool. Let developers get in on that. Like that. And then the final piece of news here came out on Friday, and it was that Akira Toriyama passed away on March 1st at the age of 67. Akira Toriyama is most famous for having made Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. In terms of video games, though, he did the character art and development for Chrono Trigger and the character art and development for every Dragon Quest game that has ever existed.
Oh, wow.
So he is huge. He is like a national treasure in Japan. Apparently, the news for the past few days, sorry about my dog barking, he's a dickhead, is basically just like memorializing Toriyama. It's kind of crazy because he, other than Dragon Ball, he's made a couple other one-off mangas, one of which is called Sandland. It was a long time ago when it came out, but there's a Sandland game coming out at the end of next month. So I thought that was kind of cool. And they're doing new Sandland anime stuff. So it's a bummer that he has passed away in general, but now it's like calls into question if that Sandland anime is going to continue going on and stuff like that. So, it sucks. And like, you know, Chrono Trigger is my favorite piece of like media of all time. So it sucks to see one of the key people that helped in creating that going away. And like, you know, the man designed the Dragon Quest slime, like all time great character design on the Dragon Quest slime. So it's sad, and his influence will be missed for sure. Bummer. 67, too young, man. That sucks.
Yeah, that is really young.
And so with that, I think that's really all the news that I could think of. Oh, sorry. I forgot it's Mario Day, and the weird stuff came out this morning. Nintendo tweeted several things. Such as the Paper Mario Thousand Year Door remaster is coming out May 23rd. The Luigi's Mansion 2 HD remaster is coming out June 27th. In 2 days, they are adding Dr. Mario for the Game Boy and then Mario Golf and Mario Tennis to the Game Boy Color Switch Online. Mario Tennis for the Game Boy Color is actually like a sick, very cool RPG where you like... Upgrade your tennis equipment and like go around and like challenge people. It's super awesome. So I would recommend people checking that
out. Which they did something like that with the new one, right?
They did, yeah. Because it was Camelot, the same developer, I believe. But that for the Game Boy Color is like super neat. I think Mario Golf is similar. I did not play that, though, because I have much less interest in golf than tennis.
Sure.
But yeah, I believe both of those are like pretty cool, kind of beefy, interesting RPGs, especially for the time they came out. And then the final one, you know what they're making a sequel to? The Mario movie. Who could have guessed?
They're also doing Lego Mario.
Well, that did come out. Yeah, Lego Mario Kart, even.
Yeah.
That's cool. But yeah, Miyamoto got on Twitter, and he did the same thing he did the last time. He tweeted about the Mario Brothers movie where he said, "Hi, it's me, Miyamoto." It's just like a weird way to start a tweet. They're making a sequel, and it was like, of course you are. It made over $1 billion. Like, what?
Sure.
I already
have this movie.
It's fine. Yeah, I mean,
I figured
it's an okay film. So they're making a sequel, like, obviously. So I don't, you know, sure. Mario Day. Thanks, Miyamoto. They're still doing it with Illumination. It's like, of course you are. The same studio that made the first one? Understand.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you just keep that going?
Oh, they announced that it will come out April 3rd, 2026. So, get hype.
That's a long way away.
Mark your calendars.
Sure.
Yeah, so that is it. I forgot that those few things came out just this morning. But... yeah, that's the video game news. We can get into what we have been playing. I played Street Fighter a decent amount because Ed came out. I was really excited. Turns out Ed is a very I can't think of the right word to describe it. First of all, he requires very high level of execution. I do not have that, so I cannot do that. Unintuitive is the other one I was looking for. The way his moves work and hit is like really weird and like contradictory to the way most Street Fighter characters work. So it makes him like really interesting, but it breaks my brain. So in the end, I cannot play Ed at all because I suck. But he's very cool. And boxing is cool. And a small balance patch came out with him that buffed Jamie in a major way for me. Now he gets a free drink off of a forward throw. And my main game plan is to throw as much as humanly possible. So huge buff for me. But yeah, wow. The main two characters that got buffed were Jamie and Ryu, because they specifically said, we're looking into larger changes for like season 2 after Akuma comes out to end the first season. But they specifically wanted to make changes to characters who are too strong and characters who they saw were not being used to their full potential or not unique enough in Ryu's case. So those two were the key buff targets, just because it gave Jamie more ways to make drinks, give him some more range. Ryu sure. got like some of his stuff is like way safer than before and makes him like not as similar to Ken in the way Ken plays, but worse. They gave him some cool safe setups and things. So those two characters definitely got a lot of buffs. And then like JP does way less damage. Ken's throw loop was like slightly nerfed in the corner. Zangief can do a couple more really cool combos. That was one of the only other characters that got like buffs. Luke's crouching medium punch is no longer like a war crime. You can actually punish it now. It was so bad, dude. Like everybody who's Luke would just like spam crouching medium punch in every situation. You still can because it's still really good, but at least it's like more punishable.
Oh,
and some of the things that they nerfed on JP, I was like, that's not real. You should not have put that in a patch note. One of his crouching anti-airs had the same properties as using a dragon punch. And I was like, fuck no, wow. Dude, just a crouching normal. You can't tell people that. That's fucked up. He was just like that for 8 months. Jesus Christ. So his damage scales a lot crazier now. Everything is less fucked up about him. He's still really good, though, but at least less ridiculously so. And then like season two is still coming, so they'll do more. People were like, I can't believe Jamie and Ryu were the only two to get buffs. And it was like, you can't believe two of the least used characters in the game got buffs? Like, what are you talking about, man? So yeah, that's cool. I'm glad for both of those. And I will stick with Jamie, I guess, until a character that I would change for and can actually play comes out. But it's cool. Seeing it, people play Ed is wild. He's such a weird character and interesting to see.
Hey. Now the game's literally praising you for throwing people, which is like...
I know. It's so sick. I love it. And if you do it in the corner and you get drink level 4, you get like a free punish. It's disgustingly good. Anyways. Yeah, so I played Street Fighter until Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came out. I don't know what to say about Rebirth. I have a lot to say, but also don't know how much I should say. It's weird because I feel like in pre-release coverage, it was not fully clear how the game was going to play at a base level. Like, obviously, the battle system was going to be the same as it was in the first one. But Final Fantasy VII Remake, the last game, was very linear. It was a lot of like linear spaces in the way that like Final Fantasy 13 and most of the other more modern Final Fantasies were. People were like very upset about that in some cases, but like in 7, it was very real. Like you're crawling through a lot of tight spaces so that they can mask loads and stuff, and very linear for a lot of it. Even the more open areas were like an open straight line, essentially. So like it was a super linear game, and you think like, okay, Remake basically takes the first 5 to 7 hours of Final Fantasy VII, which is contained to one city, Midgar, and blew it out to like a 30-40 hour game. Where Rebirth starts is when you go out into the open world. How are they going to be able to have it seem like that weird open world? Like, it's not going to be on a world map. Is it still going to be weirdly linear? And the answer is not at all. There are like huge open areas in this game. You start off, you're in this huge open area, open world area with the grasslands. And when I say open world area, I mean it. You climb towers, dog, and you put icons on the map. So like it's open world, like it's a pretty big open space, especially in the first one, the grasslands. You end up going through, I think I've gone through 4 others, so I'm on a 5th open area now, and I think there's one more. So I think there's a total of 6 very large open areas. But yeah, I mean, you climb towers. They give you, there are a handful of mission types on each map. There are like battle challenges where you find things in the wild to fight them. You scan these crystals. You go to these shrines for summons. You can ride your chocobo around and find buried treasure with the chocobo. There's a couple other ones. Each area has a different like mini game associated with it as well. There's a card game that you can play with a bunch of different people called Queen's Blood that I find to be pretty fun, and that's all over. So like it's a map game. It's an open world map game in a way that I was not ready for, but I think it works. It definitely helps to mask that nothing is really happening in the plot of this game. Because the first game is like I said, 5 to 7 hours blown out to 40. This is probably like 15 to 20 hours of the main game where it takes place. But it's like not necessarily as linear, right? Like you could be going around the world map, going to different optional towns and doing specific things. But like you don't really learn a whole lot about the world and stuff that are like huge major plot points. And so if you were to like mainline this story, I don't think there would be that much plot, quote unquote, the whole way through. There are still like major points, major pivotal points from original Final Fantasy VII, but definitely not as like shit is always popping off as it was in the first one, which I actually enjoy. I don't know that will be for everyone, but I mean, like, I think a lot of people have been praising the game very heavily. I mean, it's got like a 94 on Metacritic and OpenCritic or some shit. It's like a super highly praised game. People really like that open area. I did not get burned out by where I am at, but I could see people burning themselves out really quickly. if you just keep doing and making sure you complete all the open area stuff. And the game introduces a shitload of mini games. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I've played 25, 30 different mini games at this point. And a lot of them are, like, pretty unique. Or in the case, the first game had some, it reuses those in some unique ways. And I like most of them, but they want you to get, like, weirdly high scores in some of them to, like, unlock items and, like, do achievements and stuff. That stuff pisses me off sometimes because it's like, I don't think this is a good enough minigame to warrant me, like, going back and doing the same thing again, except on a hard mode version of it, which tends to unlock once you beat them. But it's got a lot of minigames. I could see people getting sick of that and burning out on that. I could see people getting sick of the open world and burning out on that. But if you're willing to, like, give it the benefit of the doubt and just go along with it and come to the story as you do, to me, it is what I love about Final Fantasy and just JRPGs in general, where because you're getting all this banter and the characters are talking when you're doing side quests and stuff, it really feels like you're on an adventure with these people. Like, it feels like I've been playing and going along. I'm at like 60 hours, which is as long as it took me to beat Yakuza as a whole, which is crazy. And I'm still going, and I still have 4 more chapters to go. I just looked it up before this podcast. So there's still going to be at least 15, 20 hours minimum more until I beat the game, which is kind of crazy. I'll probably end at like 80 hours, which is nuts. So it's got a lot of content. And I think that, you know, the way that it has adapted the original game so far has been mostly pretty good. It hasn't been very different, but when it has been different, shit's getting weird. But yeah, online, the con of every review was that the ending sucks and was too convoluted and, like, made them think less of the game as a whole. I don't think that'll happen to me because I kind of expected it to get a little too weird. Just the way they're trying to, like, mix together, you have knowledge of the first game and some of the characters do too, but this is, like, different and some stuff is happening differently. I don't know how they're going to finish that plot line in the third game, but, you know, I played Kingdom Hearts. I have my expectations pretty low for, like, the payoff of that thing, but I think the gameplay, again, I think it's interesting what they have done with these open world areas. I think it's got a lot of variety. And on top of that, again, it still continues to be one of my favorite battle systems of all time in a video game. I personally really like the way it does action and turn-based type stuff at the same time. It just works for me. I love the strategy of it. I think it works really well. And it takes that combat from the first game and adds to it, right? Like, now there are all kinds of weird synergy abilities where characters can attack together, more skills, more weapons. It just basically takes that what was in the first game, improves upon it, fixes some of the issues it had, and adds more to it. So it's just like the best of all worlds if you liked that combat before. I will say, if you didn't like Remake, definitely not going to like this game because you're still, you know, the characters are the same characters, the same combat system. If for some reason, the only reason you didn't like Remake is that you wanted it to be open world-ish, which is a weird complaint to make about that game, then I guess you could like this one, but I still feel like probably not for everyone. And for some reason, IGN's out there telling people they can play this game without playing Remake. Not true. No one do that ever, because you'll have no idea what the fuck is going on or who any of the characters are ever. So I don't know. Anyways, I like this game. I think it's very good. I'm nearing the end. It's got me. It got me so good. I was, like, not ready, because when I first played Remake, I really didn't like it in the beginning. I really liked the intro. And then when you were, like, doing weird side quests for a guy where you had to find his cats, I was like, I fucking hate this game. It's not good. But then I started to like the combat. I started to like, you know, where the plot was going. And I was like, all right, I'm on board. And I ended up really liking it. Rebirth rules. I think if you like the first game, you will like this. It's better, I think, in most ways. I don't really know what to say. It's a very good game. And if you liked Final Fantasy VII originally, I would say continue to give it a shot. But
I mean, I assume, like, if you liked Final Fantasy VII initially, I mean, like, you just got to play this just out of morbid curiosity if it's like one of your favorite games, especially.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. It is also one of those things where, like, I don't hold original Final Fantasy VII as, like, sacred as a lot of JRPG fans do. So sometimes if you're just looking for it to be Final Fantasy VII, but again, it's not doing that. Like, it is changing stuff in key meaningful ways, or you have to change some of the stuff in some cases because you're blowing out a small portion of a game to be a whole entire game. And I know people get weirdly upset about that kind of stuff, but, like, you know, you got to make concessions if you're going to make this game in a modern era. And I think they're doing the best they can. Sure. And also, again, I wouldn't like this as much if it was just Final Fantasy VII again. I think it's like, I think it is worthwhile that they are trying to do something different also, because then it, like, also makes it interesting, because it's like, I don't know exactly what's coming. Something could change, or you're trying to go for this whole weird plot thing. It's like, I don't know if it's going to work out, but I'm glad you're going for it, because I already played Final Fantasy VII in 1998. So, like, you know, and I've also seen that plot rehashed 9 million times through all the remakes and stuff. I don't necessarily need to see that same stuff again. So I personally am glad it's changed, but I know not everyone is. I think it's an excellent game, and Square is going to make more than the money they put into it back. And it's one of those things where it's like, this is one of those times where, like, every other AAA game studio, I'm like, I don't know, it's not working out. With this game specifically, because it is a remake of a beloved game, it's working out. And let me tell you, they are spending all the money on it. Yeah. The production values in this game are fucking crazy. Will they ever be able to do it again after the third Final Fantasy VII game? I don't know if they'll ever be able to do it at the same scale. That's all I'm saying. Shit's crazy. But if you got it and you can do it, sure. Get it out there. But yes, I've basically only been playing this, and will probably continue to only be playing this because it's so long and filled with content.
But that's awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm super happy about that. Yes. So then you have been playing games as well. I see quite a list here. What do you got popping?
I restarted playing Silent Hill, The Short Message, that demo.
You had not liked it previously.
I did not like it initially. So then, but as I was playing it, I was like, I bet my girlfriend would like this. So then we ended up kind of playing that together. I continued to not like it throughout, and it's not a good game. She kind of was intrigued by it, but then by the end she was like, wow, that was kind of terrible. But like at the same time, it was free, so I'm not gonna complain about it too much. But I mean, it's definitely worth checking out if you're intrigued by it just because it's free. But like, I have to agree with a lot of the ratings that it got from pretty much all of the press, where it's not well received by most people.
Yeah, I had also heard several people talk about it after your initial take, and I was like, oh, I wonder if they feel similar to Matt. Even with the theming, people were like, this shit is whack. I can't with this. So
it just doesn't make sense why they're Japanese people speaking English, but then also in German. Why is it in Germany? That's the part that just doesn't make any sense at all to me. It's clearly heavily based on, like, Japanese culture, but then they just stuck it in Germany for no reason. Very strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will then say we decided, or more or less she decided, the next game we're going to play is Heavy Rain.
What? You never played Heavy Rain before this?
Well, because, like, you told me what happens, how it ends.
Oh, fuck. Okay, yeah.
You told me who the killer is.
Yeah.
I knew enough about the game, but like, I'm like, fine. I finally said, like, sure, I will play Heavy Rain for the trophies.
Jason. So,
I knew about the Jason part, but I didn't know how that Jason sequence ended. That's terrible. Okay, how old is Chase again? Like, he's
8 years old.
Eight years. I assume Chase is old enough at 8 years old to know that you don't just run off in the mall, and then you especially don't just like go sprinting across the street. I assume he's smart enough to know this, right?
Yes.
Jason is 10 years old, so 2 years older than Chase.
It's fun. Like, there's a lot about this game that is like, what's happening?
It's just kind of like I'm okay with, like, I understand the concept of, like, the kid dies and, like, the father blames himself. But, like, they could have come up with a better, like, way that the kid dies. Like, he's too old to do that. Like, the kid needed to be maybe, like, 4 for that to make sense.
Yes, for sure.
10 is way too old to be excited about a balloon and then just run off and then just be like, I'm going to go play in the street. Like, it just, like, 10-year-olds are smart enough to not do that.
Oh, the fucking balloon. I love that scene. Is so fucking ingrained in my brain. Like, Jason. Just the whole, yeah. Oh, fucking. Jason. What a game. What a game.
Yeah. I'm going to keep playing it because I'm just, like, intrigued. And as I said, she loves it. And I'll get the trophies, but, like, that sequence bothered me just because I'm like, have they ever talked to a 10-year-old? Have they met a 10-year-old before? Because just stupid.
Yeah, I have. Oh God, Heavy Rain, man. The end of Heavy Rain still, it makes me so mad when I think about it.
In more positive news, I've been playing through Stacking. That's the one I probably played the least of the three main games I'm going to talk about. But it's just this cute little adventure/puzzle game where you play as Matryoshka dolls, and then, like, each doll that you kind of, like, get into, they have, like, special abilities. And I don't know, it's just kind of fun to just, like, get into hijinks and just, like, kind of figure out the puzzles. So, like,
yeah.
But, like, one of the little Matryoshka dolls, like, kind of got into this kid, and then he just, like, runs around and he farts on people. And I'm like,
I'm a huge fan of Double Fine in general, but I remember when Stacking came out and I played it and I really liked it. And I was like, I bet no one bought this. Like, I bet it did so poorly, but I thought it was a fun concept of a game.
It's at least unique.
Yeah, for sure.
And honestly, because of the art style, it doesn't necessarily look old.
No.
I think it ages well in that sense. And, like, and for a Double Fine game, it plays fine because it's not really about the gameplay much. So, like, well, it's not about, like, the controls necessarily, you know? Like, you don't need strict controls to play through this game. So, like, in that sense, it's good. I'm liking where the story's going. Like, it's cute. I have nothing but positive things to say about Stacking so far.
Yeah.
And then the other two games I played through, Vanquish and BioShock Infinite, I beat both of those games.
Okay.
Vanquish, I got to say, like, both of these games, 5 out of 5s for me. Like, I loved Vanquish. It was just, like, so much fun to play through. It's just a cover-based linear shooter, but it was just, it's unique in just, like, the way it controls, and, like, it's fast-paced, and it's got that, it's like a character action, first-person cover-based shooter. It was awesome. It was fun. The story was a little predictable, especially there's a character turn at one point. And you're like, I kind of saw this coming, but, like, I don't care about that. It was just so much fun to just play through. And it was, like, a unique twist on, like, that style of game, especially for that era where, like, there were so many, like, third-person cover-based shooters, and, like, they at least figured out a way to do something unique and different. It was a little on the short end, so I could see people kind of complaining about that, but I absolutely could see its, like, replayability, especially with the way they, like, upgrade the weapons and everything, and having fun playing on harder difficulties. But no, Vanquish was excellent, and I think it's one of the few, like, cover shooters that you would actually enjoy, man.
No, yeah, I wanted to play Vanquish back then. People love that game.
I think if you ever see a sale on PlayStation where it's like Bayonetta and that together, I think you should consider picking it up.
Yeah.
And then lastly, BioShock Infinite. Just like, it is just a great playing game, first off. Like, it just played very, very well. And I like all the abilities with the guns. Like, it's very much my style of game. Because I like linear first-person shooter campaigns.
You also like traversal.
Yes.
So it's got, like, that weird rail system shit in it or whatever?
Yeah, that was fun to just kind of, like, to do that traversal stuff. But then, like, I think for this game in particular, like, it's the story. And I gotta say, I'm a little confused by the ending.
This Which game has, let's say, been critically looked at a lot in the years since it came out, not in a positive way.
and I think that's kind of sad. That, like, it seems like when it first came out, people were very positive on it, and then over the years, like, people have been less positive about it. But, like,
yeah, I think Ken Levine has a lot of heavy-handed ideas in this game that don't exactly like work well. But yeah, I don't know. When I first played this game, I was like you. I did like the combat and stuff.
Yeah.
At a certain point, the story lost me almost completely, like somewhere near the end. Like, I get what is happening. You know, there's always a, what is it? There's always a girl, a lighthouse, and a fucking something else.
Yeah, that.
And it's just, the thing that I think is weird about it is it's basically like justifying how they can make BioShock infinite times.
Sure.
Which is like, okay, I see where you're going there. It doesn't work as well when he just is now making BioShock again, but not BioShock.
Well, aren't they making a BioShock?
Somebody's making a BioShock.
In theory.
But his game, Judas, just looks like BioShock. So, I don't know.
Which, I have to say, the first and the third one, which he did the first one, and then obviously Infinite, too, it was a different studio. Like, I'm okay with it because, like, they're fun games to play. Like, the shooting's fun. But then also, they're just, they're great at with the environments. And I'm just intrigued by the environments. And I just kind of enjoy just kind of, like, taking my time and exploring the worlds and just kind of seeing how they're just interesting to just kind of walk around and just kind of see. The art style and everything. I don't know. Like, I really enjoyed that one in the Infinite, the first one in Infinite, for that reason alone. I do want to give the second one another try because I started it. I got probably about halfway and then I just kind of stopped because it was just kind of like more of the first one, but like, hey, you play as a big daddy, which that didn't really excite me too much. But I kind of want to give it another chance.
People say that standalone DLC Minerva's Den is like the best. So
yeah, and that's the nice thing about when you buy like these BioShock collections that I did. Like you get all the DLC, so I have like all the DLC for like Infinite. Which did you touch any of the DLC for Infinite?
Weirdly, I did buy it. I bought both part. Like I bought the season pass or whatever. I only ever played the first half, which is the worst half.
Oh, okay.
It's like not very good, and I remember the second part being the part that was like interesting, but it came out like at a weird time later, or like maybe way too long after because it was like broken or something. But I never played the second half of it, so I don't know if it was actually like good or not.
Okay, I might check it out at some point just because I enjoyed playing through the game. And, you know, as I said, I just enjoy those environments. And it was another game that I think it does a good job of rewarding you for exploring. You go down a path, one of the things that really frustrated me about Final Fantasy last year was, like, it did not reward you for going down.
Oh, like, I mean, you didn't find the 10 gil to be worth your time?
No, where at least this, it does. But then every once in a while, you would, like, find nothing. But I was okay with that because, like, most of the time you do get something. And then I enjoy games where you take money and then you can just put that money into video, like, you know, gameplay upgrades of, like, upgrading your guns or upgrading your abilities. And just, I don't know. That kind of stuff just, like, keeps me in the loop, and it keeps me enjoying the games. That's a huge reason why I love, like, Dead Space and Resident Evil stuff, because that's what they do with those games. So, I really enjoyed BioShock Infinite and also Vanquish. I think both were excellent games, and, you know, now I'm just kind of left wondering what I'm going to do next. I haven't really decided what I'm going to play next.
So before we get off this topic of BioShock, I have to say this. When I beat BioShock Infinite, I will never forget because you said you like, you know, the ending was confusing and you didn't, you know, fully understand what was going on. I had played that game and I was at the very end. I don't remember why, if I had invited them over or what, but Nukio and Jumbo came over, and I was like in the final part of that game. And so Nukio, Jumbo, and my brother watched me do like the last hour-ish of that game.
Okay.
And I just remember Nukio being like, did that make any sense to you? And I was like, yeah, kind of. And he's like, okay, because I have no idea what the fuck is going on. And I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense because you have no context of the rest of the fucking game. But even I, as someone who played the game, was still kind of like, you know, I don't know what's going on with this baptism and shit. Like,
yeah, he definitely got very convoluted.
So I had three people who had no other context watch me do the ending of that game and be like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, listen, man, you can't come in at the last hour of this game. Yeah, I was here the whole time, and I can't even answer these questions you guys have. So,
but hey, it was still a lot of fun to play.
No, yeah, I agree. I just remember the ending and three people being there who had no context. And it was like, man, fucking I don't know.
I played through that game, and my last thought was like, wait, what?
And I also, I still don't have all the story trophies for Infinite because it bugged.
Oh, that
it like sucks. During the second chapter, it was like my PlayStation like couldn't connect to the server. So I have, it looks like I cheated because I have the trophies for like chapter 1 and then 3 through the end.
Could you just replay chapter 2?
I could have. I just never did. I don't know. I probably could play it and get it. It's just funny. Because, I mean, it's like I wasn't going to get the platinum or anything, so missing trophies are a huge deal. I just thought it was funny that I missed an unmissable trophy.
Yeah, that's funny.
And that's the only time I've ever had that happen in a game. It was really weird. So, yeah.
No, I didn't run into any bugs.
Those are my two things. Yeah. I mean, and that wasn't even the game's fault. I think it was the server's fault, like connecting to PSN. So,
sure.
Oh, man. BioShock Infinite.
BioShock Infinite. It's the game that aged well. The ending doesn't necessarily make sense, but that's okay.
Yeah.
As long as it's fun to play, I'm okay with it. And it was fun to play, and it was still well written. Like, I enjoyed the dialogue and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I also did know you go back to Rapture at one point, but boy, you do not go to Rapture for very long.
No. The DLC, I believe, is in Rapture.
Oh, cool.
So you can do that to get your Rapture fix.
Well, I could just play 2 as well.
No, I mean, yeah, but will the combat be as fun? I don't know. I didn't play 2.
Probably not, no.
Yeah, so I'm going to continue to play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell you outside of that. I don't fucking know, man. I mean, I will play Dragon's Dogma 2 when it comes out.
That's coming out soon, isn't it?
Yeah, they gotta put out a demo because, man, the console version of that game sounds whack as hell. It's an uncapped targeting 30 frames a second, often going down to the low 20s. So.
Wait, the PS5 and Series X?
Yes, sir.
That's not good.
Nope.
That seems like a game that might be worth, you know, waiting a couple months.
Yeah, it could be. And it depends because like I have a really good video card, but my CPU is not good and it seems like it's tied to the CPU. So I might also have a not great time on my computer, but I could at least lock it at 30 so that it's not like going up and down. So
you know what's sad, Manny?
Yes.
In my brain I'm like, I can't play Dragon's Dogma 2 without playing Dragon's Dogma 1.
See, I rid myself of this. Because while IGN is out there saying you could play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth without playing Remake, and I just laugh because it's like that so is not true, even a little bit. This is true. You don't gotta play one.
I understand like narratively. It's more I at least want to check out Dragon's Dogma 1 and just kind of play through at least some of it.
It was so janky back then also that I feel like if I tried to play it now, I would like become upset.
I don't need to finish it though. I just kind of want to like play a little bit of it and see if I like it and see if so then I can have a better appreciation for the second one.
That's fair. I think that's true, but I know enough people who love the first one. Like my brother doesn't play a lot of video games, like other than fighting games, but somehow during the 360 era, he picked up like the most cult classic shit of all time. Like he played Alpha Protocol for no reason, and also Dragon's Dogma and The Witcher 2. And like no normal people with a 360 were like, yeah, gotta get these three. But like those were some of the ones he picked, and like people love Alpha Protocol still to this day and are like weird cult classic. People are obsessed with Dragon's Dogma in a way that scares me a little bit. And then yeah, The Witcher 2, he was the first person I knew who played it after like it came to 360 and was like, this is pretty sweet. And I was like, what the fuck? You normally never buy games that aren't fighting games. Like it's weird that you pick these three things. But yeah, yeah. Willy and Nukio, how much they liked Dragon's Dogma 1, I feel like I'm good. I know. I'll enjoy it. So you fucking kill big monsters with your action combat. I'm in, you know?
Do you know if the second one has, like, because I know the first one had that thing where you pull in, like, other people's character.
Yep, it's still the pawns. Yep.
So it does have the pawns.
Yep.
So that's cool.
Yeah, and it still has the weird thing where you can find, like, summoning stones out in the middle of nowhere, and it's called, like, the tall boys stone, and you can only get, like, 6 foot tall and up pawns and shit like that, so.
Now, do you think you can only pull pawns from the same console?
I don't know how that stuff worked even in the original.
Because if you get it on PC, then like in like I played on my PlayStation, then I couldn't even pull your phone.
That is true. Yeah, I don't know. And it also like no one has talked about like the performance being super awful in their PlayStation previews or anything. If anything, people came out of it when all the previews are on PS5 saying like this might be the game of the year for me type stuff. So like people still like the PlayStation 5 version. It's just I know myself and I will like continuously notice when it dips and be like, ah, I just wish it was 30. Either just have it be 30 or, you know, I don't know. So Final Fantasy, I'm really weird with that because like the 30 frames per second mode looks incredible. But I gotta play fucking the game ruined it because I played the Final Fantasy VII Remake DLC before I played this, which was at 60 frames a second. So I had like an immediate frame of reference to be like, oh, this isn't as smooth. So that was my fault. But yeah, I don't know. I'll see. Hopefully the PC version of Dragon's Dogma is good also. I know sometimes those ports don't always directly translate. So we'll see. I mean, I also don't have to buy it right on day one, but I'm there's a rumored demo for all consoles and PC. So hopefully that comes to fruition. I mean, there's only 12 days until it comes out. So hopefully the demo would come out soon if it did, but because I just want to see how it runs in general.
Sure.
Yeah. But Dragon's Dogma comes out soon. And that'll probably be the main thing I transition to after Final Fantasy in theory. So.
Yeah. Don't know what I'm going to do next, but hey, I have Thursday and Friday off this week, so
nice.
I'm definitely going to get some games. So.
That's what I did last week for Final Fantasy, because for some reason it came out on Thursday.
Oh.
Okay. February 29th. They said, got to get it in on a leap day. So yeah, I guess that'll do it for us here at the podcast. As always, the theme song is Sting Operation by the band Onomatoguchi. They're an excellent chiptune band. You should check them out. I'm going to go drink an energy drink and play Final Fantasy VII Rebirth some more. That's what I'm going to do. Okay. So
I'm going to go figure out what I'm going to play next.
Nice. So yeah, we will catch you guys next time. Peace out.